It's that time on the radio where we're joined by Bill Blevins from Blevins Franks. Hi there, Bill.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, we've been doing these talks together for some time, so can we talk about longevity today? But regarding money and how you can make money last as long as you want it to do. In other words, before, you know, and before you pop off.
Making sure you outlive your money.
Exactly.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, but the thing is, people are living longer these days, thankfully, and I'm sure that's a trend that's expected to continue. And it has many benefits, of course, for health and the things that we can do. But we do know that the state and pensions maybe are in trouble. So can we look at the implications for the state first? And what impact could longevity have on the state's finances? Big question.
Yeah, it is a big question, Howard. I think, again, many people will be aware that the demographic changes taking place internationally, but essentially, let's just focus on Europe, are that increasing longevity is a fact that we now have to live with and to plan for. Whether governments are really up to speed on this yet or not is yet to be seen. But what I hope anyone listening to this programme will understand is that you need to take control of the way in which you look after your assets, your wealth, to make sure that you do outlive your wealth. And of course, in the case of most people who have got reasonable wealth, they'd like to leave the best part of it to their dependents, their beneficiaries as well. Now, rising life expectancy is proving to be a very significant political challenge. It's very expensive for governments. The higher, obviously, the proportion of older people in a population, the greater the cost of services like state pensions and in particular healthcare, and the lower the number of taxpayers that can fund it. You know, we have an exponentially growing retirement population, for example, in the UK, and a reducing working population. I think there are now more people aged over 65 in the UK, I read recently, than there are people under the age of 16. So ask yourself a simple question. If that continues and there, and with you know, better nutrition, better medical advice and all the rest of it, better medical facilities, it's pretty clear that people are going to live longer in going into the future with fewer people around to pay the bills who are at work. So how does that work? Well, for governments really around the world, the solutions that they tend to fall back on lie largely within pension, healthcare reforms and tax increases in an attempt to try and finance these escalating demographical expense changes. Higher taxation, you know, is one way they've been going forward, and that is a really significant threat to your own financial security in retirement. So, and coupled with healthcare costs and all the rest of it, you know, so it is something that people need to be advised upon, I think, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I suppose really we're talking such big numbers here, any tax increases could be really big.
Oh yeah, I think they're already beginning. I think, you know, when you see property being a fundamental target now of increasing taxation, the big side effect from my point of view of rising life expectancy is this general trend for ever increasing tax rises. And that's because the greater the proportion of older people in the population, the more money the government needs to pay for state pensions and services like healthcare. Look, we've all, I'm sure, been reading about how underfunded, for example, the National Health Service is, and I'm sure state medical facilities in most of the European countries are under stress, or if they're not under stress, they're funded by higher rates of taxation to fund those care facilities, those hospital facilities, than is payable normally in the UK. And so there are available arrangements, to expatriates where they can legitimately minimise their taxation, and reducing the amount of tax that you personally have to pay clearly makes it possible for your money to go further and help to fight the effects of inflation and all the rest of it. So, you know, it is an area of key concern for me and for Blevins Franks, and indeed for all of our clients, that they're able to manage their financial wealth to A, firstly protect the wealth they have from erosion, and B, to make sure that, as you said at the outset of this brief discussion, that they outlive their wealth and leave the vast proportion of their wealth free of tax for the next generation.
Yeah, well, there's no magic money tree, but the governments are forever saying we can still get crack down on these people evading tax. Is this going to continue, Bill?
Oh, yeah, I don't think there's any question of that. I think if you are trying to pretend that you have wealth or income that you can hide from the tax man and welcome back from the planet Zog, the European Union Savings Tax Directive now sounds like a piece of history, and it is, because what has happened since you and I, Howard, first started talking about that 12, 15 years ago is it's now become outdated by the new levels of financial controls. Anyone listening to the programme will know that if you want to open a new utilities account, if you want to open a new bank account, you've got to provide reams and reams of identification and paperwork to be able to get that far down the line. The banks want to know every ounce of detail about you. This has all come about in the last, really the last 10, 12 years. And in the circumstances of today's world where you've got, you know, overseas, Bermuda-based, Panama-based trust companies whose information is being leaked out by, I don't know, disgruntled employees or whoever, the simple fact is that the governments of the world know that they have this massive liability accruing from the demographic changes, and they need to fund it. And so they are going to be after those people who they don't think are properly declaring for tax. So don't be caught in the category of a tax evader. The punishments are severe.
So for our listeners in Spain, Bill, what's your advice to them on how to protect themselves from these higher taxes?
Well, I think, look, let me just make it clear from a moral standpoint. I think Blevins Franks and I both believe, of course, that, you know, there is a moral obligation to pay unto Caesar what is due unto Caesar. We all have to benefit from the facilities which the state provide, whether it is the roads network, whether it's the collection of the rubbish from the dustbins and that sort of stuff. But the truth is, at the end of the day, the taxing laws are there to be used by individuals to their best advantage. You do not need to pay unto Caesar more than Caesar says in the laws of the country in which you live. And so I think that what you need to do in Spain is to sit down, generally speaking, with someone who understands how you can corral your affairs so that you are legitimate in the way in which you deal with your financial arrangements and you are not breaching any of the laws. You're on the white side of the fence, if you like. But where you are not paying excessive amounts of tax that would otherwise be unnecessary by virtue of the way in which you structure your affairs and do your planning. I mean, the laws are there for you to utilise to minimise your taxes down to those which you are legally obliged to pay. And that can be a very useful exercise in not only simply avoiding tax, but in that accrual of savings that comes from paying less tax, you end up improving your wealth over time and passing more wealth on to the next generation, of course.
Yeah. Let's let things look a bit more personal, Bill. The longer we live, as we talk, the longer we need our savings to last. Mm. And so if inflation's increasing, that's going to be a major concern as well.
Yeah, I think inflation is still a wicked tool. And, you know, in the UK, they're talking about it rising to 3%. I mean, it may be even higher, I think, in much of continental Europe. But look, if you're happy with the income that you are now receiving, you've probably got the answer to how much you're going to need in the future. I mean, you might just want enough each month to live comfortably, or you might want, you know, a bit extra so you can afford some luxuries. You might even settle for a modest income, so long as you can have access to some immediately available rainy day funds. I mean, most of our audience is retired, and it's worth remembering that if you factor in the effect of inflation, as you mentioned, on reducing your spending power each year, just think about this. And figurative examples in these interviews are quite difficult to absorb, so just carefully for a moment, just take the example. If you are spending what I think many people would consider to be modestly €5,000 a month, and you assume inflation remains at only 3% then a year, then in 10 years' time, you're going to need about €6,720 to be able to spend the same amount that you could get before for €5,000 a month. And in 20 years' time, you'd need 9,030, almost double that amount of monthly income to meet the same spending requirements. So even at the low levels of 3%, you know, inflation is the cancer, I'm afraid, that attacks mostly cash investors.
So what can we do to protect our savings and investments from this?
Well, I think the answer is not straightforward, and it doesn't necessarily apply to every single individual. But, you know, unless you have a diversified portfolio of a basket of assets spread around the various areas of investment choices between bonds and corporate bonds and blue chip equities, small company equities, third world equities, and cash and property. Unless you've got a basket of investments, which, as I've said before, like the pistons of the engine, if one is going down slightly, another is going up, and you are therefore making money somewhere in the pot all the time, then you're going to end up with much more value in your capital than you would have in cash. And the simple fact is that you are investing, if you're investing in the economy, if you're investing in equity and shares, for example, in the times of inflation, shares normally rise outpacing inflation. So that won't happen if you've got cash. So you need to be considering how you're going to balance your investments to make sure that they perform in excess of the rate of inflation, to make sure your spending power not just remains the same, but but your spending power increases over time. That's the art of properly managing money. And one of the other things you need to do, and I mentioned it earlier, was to make sure that you have those assets that you've chosen to outperform inflation wrapped up in some sort of device, some structure, which will keep you out of the unnecessary levels of taxation that otherwise might apply.
Yeah, and of course pensions are obviously important for our financial security through retirement. So do people need to be careful when they decide what to do with this pension fund?
Absolutely essential. I mean, I can't emphasize strongly enough how careful you need to be, especially as there are so many pension scams going on. The Financial Conduct Authority in the UK have issued public warnings about people falling for potential pension scams. Now, for many people, unless you've got what is known as a final salary pension, where the pension is related to your final salary, that provides a fixed income normally for the rest of your life. Other than that, outliving your savings can be a real risk. As we go back to the beginning of this discussion, the state pension for individuals from the UK currently worth about £8,000 a year. I mean, that really is unlikely to bridge the gap of individuals who are wealthy enough to have chosen to live outside of the UK and take up retirement in Spain. And there are lots of ways for expatriates to make their pension funds go further. We've discussed before, Howard, the idea of transferring your pension to a qualifying, recognised overseas pension scheme, of CureOps, and having done that, and then possibly reinvesting the amount that you can take from your pension into more advantageous tax compliant arrangements that apply specifically to the country in which you now live. And apart from it being possible to get a better investment choice, this also gives you the opportunity to set up some tax advantages that you might not otherwise have, and some increased flexibility as to how you can access the money. You know, it frankly is a question of sitting down and making an appropriate plan to ensure that you've covered all the options. You know, before making any decisions, however, and I need to emphasize this about your pension, it is essential to take impartial, but more importantly, regulated advice from a qualified pensions advisor. And the pensions advisors, the specialists that we have within Blevins Franks, are qualified by examination and licensed, if you like, and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority in the UK. If you risk taking unregulated advice, what you're doing is risking the loss of your pension in whole or in part.
Yeah. So blevinsfranks.com is the place to find this information, Bill.
Yeah, www.blevinsfranks.com will give you plenty of information. There's some stuff on there about pensions, but more importantly, this is not a one-size-fits-all problem. You need specific, individual, personalised advice, and the best thing to do is to find out which office is closest to you and get one of our very experienced, skillful, qualified regulated partners, advisors, to come and speak to you about, or go to the office and speak to them about what it is you need to do to put yourself in advantage rather than be at a disadvantage.
And I suppose, Bill, we should say Happy Christmas and Happy New Year to our listeners.
Yeah, of course. I'm sorry, Howard. The date has almost, I've been so busy, the date's almost eluded me. I know it's Christmas because I've already received some Christmas cards. So listen to all of our listeners who are patient enough and generous enough to listen to these Blevins Franks interviews week by week. I hope you find them interesting and enjoyable. But most of all, I hope they make you think about your arrangements and encourage you to take action. But above all those things, I wish everyone listening to these programmes a very, very happy Christmas and a very healthy and happy New Year.
And the same to you and yours, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Howard. Take care.